Everyone needs something to look forward to. Hope brings purpose, positivity, and direction in life. Without it, people feel lost and empty. The ultimate source of hope is Jesus Christ, who offers not only present comfort, but also eternal assurance. Romans 15:13 declares God as the God of hope, who fills believers with joy, peace, and overflowing hope through the Holy Spirit. The message explored biblical accounts of individuals who found hope in difficult circumstances. David in the wilderness, Jonah in rebellion, Job in suffering, and Jeremiah in despair. Each turned to God and found renewed strength and direction. Hope is not the absence of hardship, but the presence of God amidst it. Research confirms that hope enhances mental, physical, and emotional well-being. Spiritually, it is rooted in God's promises, Christ's resurrection, and the assurance of eternal life. When we trust God and surrender our fears, we can live with expectant hope. All have sinned, but through Jesus' death and resurrection, salvation and living hope is offered to all who believe. The Bible is a story of hope. From Genesis to Revelation, God's plan has always been to offer hope, both in this life and for eternity. Today can be your day of hope.
Church, I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning because it's a special Sunday and I get an opportunity to introduce our guest speaker. So I've known the guest speaker quite a while, as it turns out. He went to Central Bible College and then spent 42 years with a career in education, starting in Christian school and then public school, and recently retired. Went to Central Bible College. That's where he kind of put his roots in faith. He grew up in a pastor's home. And then in his churches, well, he's been playing on his worship teams ever since high school, which is an undisclosed number of years. He's an elder at his church now and was the chairman of the elder board where I was growing up as a church. And of course, the guest speaker today is my dad. So I'm so glad that he's here. So let me tell you what that means. That means he taught me everything I know, whether it's oil changes and boat docking or theology and leadership. So that means anything that we do around here that you like, anything that we say or do, that was his idea. The rest, anything that's convoluted or confusing, those are the parts that I added later. Well, a few years ago, we talk all the time, and he really started talking to me a lot about hope, a lot of the study that he's been doing about hope and the hope that we have and how important it is to our faith. And we talked about it on a regular basis, but I didn't realize, and he, at Christmas time, surprised us with the fact he had actually written a book on hope called Overflowing Hope. And so we went through it as a family over our Christmas and New Year's vacation, kind of as a devotional. That's when I knew this would be a great message for our church family, to be filled with hope. And we actually do have some copies of the book here at the Connection Hub if you want it. It's also on Amazon if you're a Kindle reader. And so I'm so glad that you're here this morning to hear my dad preach on overflowing hope. So thank you for coming. Go get him.
Well, good morning. It is my pleasure to be here, and I've really been looking forward to this. God has put this message on my heart. But I bet you'd like to hear some stories about Chris, right? Well, I don't have a lot of stories because the guy you see now is just a bigger version of the guy he was when he was little. See, Chris is our firstborn to a firstborn dad and a firstborn mom. So if you know anything about firstborn tendencies, that is Chris. Firstborn. Smart. Studious. I was going to say leadership, but that really means he likes to be in charge. Responsible. That's who he was as a kid. When Chris was little, we pretty quickly realized that he had a gift for music. I think he was about 5 years old when he started taking piano lessons. Some of my fondest memories are when he was in junior high school. He would wake up early, he had a paper out, he'd get on his bicycle, he'd pedal around the neighborhood delivering papers, then he'd come home, practice his piano. Gloria and I would wake up to hearing him practice his piano of a morning. We went to I don't know how many piano recitals and enjoyed his music. Those of you that are parents know the importance of praying for your kids. If you're a grandparent, you know the importance of praying for your grandchildren. We prayed for Chris. We still pray for Chris. We prayed for Anya before we knew she was Anya. We prayed for Chris and his family, and it's our pleasure to spend this week here with them and to be in his church. Chris and Anya, we love them very much. Anya spoils us every time we come. She's a special daughter-in-law. In fact, today is her birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday, Anya. We love coming and watching James and Luke play baseball. You know, they have done a fantastic job living all the way across the country from us and staying connected with us through the magic of technology. It's our pleasure to be here with them and to preach in his church. You know, I'm not really a preacher. My dad was a preacher. My brother is a preacher. My son is a preacher. My niece is a preacher. I got 5 grandkids. One of them might be a preacher. No pressure. But God has put a message on my heart for you this morning. I've really been working on this message for 5 years, so I got a lot to say. Chris says we're on a time limit. But I do have a message from the Lord. See, we have to look forward. I learned early in my life that I like to look forward to things. When I'm on a trip, I'm often looking forward to my next trip. I look forward to even small things, going out to dinner, doing things together as a family, family vacations. It's important to look forward because when you look forward, you live a more positive life. If you don't have something to look forward to, you don't have a lot to live for because looking forward provides hope. And that's our message today, that all of our hope is in Jesus. Today can be your day to live with hope. What is it you're hoping for in your life? Do you have hopes? Do you have hopes for your family? Do you have hopes for your children? Maybe you're hoping for a new job. Maybe you're hoping to finish your education and get a job. Maybe you have hopes because you're not feeling well. You have hopes for an illness. You have hopes for finances. What is it you're hoping for? God can fill your hopes and your dreams. Ecclesiastes 9:4, one of the paraphrases of that verse says, where there's life, there's hope. And Anne Frank quoted that in reverse, that she said, where there's hope, there's life. And I believe that's true. Where there's hope, there is life. Where there's life, there's hope. Because when you lose your hope, when your hopes are disappointed, when there's nothing to hold on to, that's when it's hard to keep going. Unfortunately, often our hopes are disappointed because we put our hopes in things that aren't eternal. We put our hopes in a new car. We put our hopes in a new school. We put our hopes in a new job. And those hopes don't last because they're not eternal hopes. They don't turn out to be what we'd hope for. In fact, we often disappoint ourselves because what we hope to do ourselves, we often disappoint ourselves and don't even do what we hope to do. Hope is important. Today, you can live with hope. I'll tell you one quick story about hope. It's from a book titled Nerves of Steel, which is written by Tammy Jo Schultz. Tammy Jo was one of the first women to fly a fighter pilot in the U.S. Navy. She flew a lot of missions. Her life is very inspiring as a military fighter pilot. But one of the things she's famous for is Southwest Flight number 1380, which was on April 17th in 2018. She took off. She was flying, the captain of that 737, Boeing 737. Just about 20 minutes into the flight, they realized something was wrong. Her crew and her passengers knew something's not right. They had lost an engine. They quickly assessed the situation, and Tammy decided, hey, we can divert to Philadelphia. We're going to be okay. We got a destination. She got on the speaker, told the flight attendants, tell everybody we're going to be okay. The flight attendants walked up and down the aisle saying, we're going to be okay. We got a destination. We're going to Philly. That gave them hope. When they landed and got off the plane, they said, that one message gave us hope. We knew we had a destination. We knew we were going to be okay. Today is our day to live with hope. Our key verse this morning that we're going to look at is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God fill you with joy and peace, and you overflow hope on your family, on your friends, on your neighborhood, on those that you come encounter with by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, hope is holding on to positive expectations. Hope, holding on to positive expectations. Titus 2:13, we are waiting for our blessed hope. And what is that? It's the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our blessed hope. As I was thinking and studying and reading about hope, started back around the time of the pandemic, because things were pretty hopeless at that point, and there was a lot of despair, and this idea of hope kept coming to my mind. And as I read and looked at things, there's a lot of research on hope. A quick summary of the research says that hope benefits well-being. Hope promotes happiness. Hope builds relationships and a sense of belonging. Hope enhances your mental health. Hope helps promote coping with loss. It reduces the risk of suicide. It gives resilience to trauma. Hope improves your physical health. Athletes perform better when they have hope. Students do better in school when they have hope. Hope improves your parenting as you teach your children to live with hope. My dad taught me and my brother to live with hope. That's just hope research. That has nothing to do with biblical hope. When you take and add the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, when we have the hope in a living God, no wonder hope makes a difference in our lives, right? Hope makes a difference. We can all live with hope. Do you have hope this morning? If you don't have hope, we're going to tell you how you can find it. Your dreams can come true. God can fill you with hope. See, hope is the message of the Bible. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's plan was for mankind to have hope. Hope in this life and hope of eternal life. The good news of the Bible is that Jesus brought hope. Today can be your day of hope. There is hope in the name of Jesus. Say that with me. There is hope in the name of Jesus. So you're reading through the Bible as a church. I know that because Gloria and I, this is my wife Gloria. Gloria, will you stand? She loves that part. My beautiful wife Gloria. See, Gloria and I are regular attenders here. You don't see us, but we see you through the magic of technology. And I know that as a church, you're reading through the Bible. And today, part of your reading is in John chapter 4, where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. The Samaritan woman at the well didn't have a lot of hope in her life. She was living in adultery. She'd been married 5 times. She was kind of an outcast from the community. That's why she had to go to the well in the middle of the day. She goes to the well that day to get some water. And who is there but Jesus? And Jesus talks to her, and Jesus gives her living water. Jesus gives her living water that day, and she has hope. In fact, it says she went back to her town and told everybody about the man she had met because of how he had changed her life. See, Jesus gave her living water because Jesus is our living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Because of God's great mercy, he has given us a living hope through Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven. Who is it that gives us hope? It's God, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a living hope because it's part of the living word of God. And why does he give us hope? Because of his mercy. God gives us hope because of his mercy. Ephesians 2, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And what is this hope? Well, it's a new birth. It's salvation. New birth is another term for salvation. It's a spiritual transformation that occurs in our lives. Jesus told Nicodemus unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. What kind of hope is it? It's a living hope. The living hope that now lives in us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I have that living hope within me. And how is this even possible? It's possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday. Jesus' death and his resurrection. He made the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus' resurrection gives us living hope. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And where does this hope take us? This hope takes us to heaven. That's our inheritance. It's an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept for you in heaven. Our inheritance cannot decay. It cannot be corrupted by sin. It will not lose its value over time because it's an eternal and a perfect inheritance. In him, we have obtained an inheritance so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And from Ephesians chapter 1. Are you living with hope? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? You can live with hope because, say it with me again, there is hope in the name of Jesus. One more time. There is hope in the name of Jesus. We're going to look quickly this morning at some people in the Bible that found hope. First person we're going to think about is David. You know King David. He's one of the most significant people in the Old Testament. More is written about David than any other person in the Old Testament, and second most in the New Testament, other than Jesus. David was a man that had a heart for God. In fact, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. You know that David was anointed, and he became the king of Israel. In fact, Jesus is called the Son of David. As a young boy, David was a shepherd boy. He watched his father's sheep. He developed great talents in poetry and music. He killed Goliath. He went on to fight many battles. David was fearless. He was a warrior. In fact, the Bible says he was victorious in every battle. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. David was a mighty man. But David was at the top of his career, you could say. David was leading battles, being victorious, doing great things. Men, if you get to the point in your life where you're doing great things, that is when Satan is out to get you. I believe that men are most tempted when they're at the height of their career. When men are doing great things and they start to feel pretty good about themselves, Satan jumps in and attacks. And where does Satan attack men? He often attacks us on our sexual desires. And that's exactly what happened to David. You know the story. He saw Bathsheba. He said, I want that woman. I got 7 wives, but I guess 7 wasn't enough. He wanted Bathsheba, and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then to make it worse, he had her husband Uriah killed. David sinned. He repented of his sin. And we can read in Psalms 51, where he prayed his prayer of repentance. David went into a wilderness situation because of his sin. In the middle of that wilderness, he realized that he had sinned and he had not lived the life that God had for him. He had great high points in his life, but David had these moments of despair. He was in the wilderness. And in Psalms chapter 40, David writes about this. He says, I put all my hope in the Lord. He leaned down to me. He listened to my cry for help. He lifted me out of the pit of death, out of the mud and out of the filth. He set my feet on a solid rock. He steadied my legs. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. When David was in the wilderness, he lifted his eyes towards heaven and cried out, I put all my hope in the Lord. And look what happened. It says, he leaned down. That's God. God leaned down. God lifted David out of the pit. He listened to what his cry was. And he steadied his legs. He set his feet on a solid rock. He put a new song in his heart. God can do that for you. You might be in a wilderness situation. You might be in a wilderness because you did something wrong to put yourself there, or you might be in a wilderness just because of life. Call out to the Lord. Put all your hope in the Lord. He will lean down to you. He will listen to you. He will lift you up. That psalm goes on to say that many would learn about what God did. Many people will learn of this and be amazed. They will trust the Lord, because those who put their trust in the Lord, who pay no attention to the proud or to follow lies, are truly happy. You put your hope and your trust in the Lord, you will be truly happy. You might feel like you're in a wilderness. You might feel like you're in a pit. You might feel like you're in the mud and the filth, or as some versions say, in the muck and the mire. But what God did for David, God can do for you. He can lift you out of the pit. We can learn from King David's example. We can live with hope. Let's look at another man. Let's look at Jonah. When all hope is lost, Jonah turned to the Lord. You probably know the story of Jonah. God had a plan for Jonah. Jonah did not like God's plan. God has a plan for you and for me. You might not like God's plan. Hopefully you don't do like Jonah, because Jonah went the opposite direction from what God wanted him to do. God wanted him to go to Nineveh, and he said, no, I'm going to go to Tarsus. The Bible says that Jonah fled the presence of the Lord. That's a dangerous situation, to flee from the presence of the Lord. But that's what Jonah did. He got a ticket. He got on a ship. He went the opposite direction. A big storm came. Must have been a huge, unusual storm, because even the sailors got worried and upset. They began to talk and find out that Jonah was on board this ship, and somehow they realized that it was Jonah's fault. They went to Jonah and he said, yeah, it's me. I'm not doing what God wanted me to do. I'm going the opposite direction. Throw me in the water and then the storm will stop. And so the sailors cast lots and they threw Jonah in the water, and the water stopped. But the Lord had appointed a great fish. You read that in Jonah 1:7. It says the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah had an appointment with the Lord. Today can be your appointment with the Lord. Jonah had been trying to escape the mission that God had for him. Jonah was going the opposite direction of what God had for him. He found himself in a hopeless situation. He found himself in the belly of a whale. And look what he did to that whale. He to the Lord. In my great trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me from the pits of death, depths of death. I called, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths. I sank down into the floods of waters and was covered by your wild and your stormy waves. Then I said, oh Lord, you have rejected me. You've cast me away. How shall I ever see your holy temple? I sank beneath the waves, and death was very near. The waters closed above me, and seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains that rise from the ocean floor. I was locked out of life. I was imprisoned in the land of death. But, oh Lord my God, you have snatched me from the yawning jaws of death. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to you. Too bad he waited till the end, but he did. When I had lost all hope, Lord, I turned my thoughts to you, and you heard my prayers. Jonah had a second chance. God turned him around. Jonah was not following the plan that God had. God had an appointment with him, and God turned him around, gave him a second chance, and he went to Nineveh. He still didn't really like it, but he went, and he did what God wanted him to do. God got his attention. If you're running from God, if you're going the opposite direction from what God wants you to do, God can turn you around this morning. God can give you hope. How about the man Job? You know about Job. He's known for his suffering. But Job was a man that lived with hope, even in the midst of his suffering. Job was a man of deep faith. He had integrity. He was blessed with wealth. He was blessed with a family. He was blessed with possessions. The Bible says he was blameless, upright, and he feared God. And then there was this odd meeting. I don't understand this meeting, but it was between God and Satan in heaven. And God said to Satan, where you been? What you been doing? Satan says, well, I've been going to and fro around the earth, walking up and down the earth. And God says, well, have you seen my man? Have you seen my man Job? Satan says, oh, yeah, I know Job. He worships you because you've blessed him. You've given him everything. He's got all these cattle, got all these sheep, got all these donkeys. He's a blessed man. He worships you because you've blessed him. And Satan said, but God, if you take away everything he's got, he's going to curse you. And later in the second meeting, he said, even if we take his health away from him, he's going to curse you, God. So God gave Satan the opportunity to take things away from Job and to put Job in a position of suffering. Job lost everything, his children, his livestock, his servants, and his health. Job didn't understand. Job questioned God. He said, God, I don't understand this. What's going on? And for verses after verses, chapters after chapters, if you read the book of Job, he goes on about his crying out to God, I don't understand, God. He says, God, I'm a righteous man. Righteous men are blessed. Then his good friends came along and said, no, Job, you're a sinful man. You must have sin because you're getting punished. You're suffering. Job says, no, I'm righteous. I'm blessed. I should be blessed. No, they said, you must be sinful because you're not being blessed. It goes back and forth. But through all of this, Job never cursed God. Now, his wife told him, Job, just curse God and die. Maybe that's why he didn't lose his wife. I'm not sure. But through all of this, Job maintained his faith in God. He wrestled with it. He prayed to God. And in the book of Job, there are 21 verses about hope. 21 more verses on hope in the book of Job than any other book in the Bible except the book of Psalms. The book of Job is Job's story of hope. Even in the midst of all this suffering, in the midst of all this problems he had, he refused to curse God. In fact, when you get to Job 13, 15, Job says, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Some translations say, yet I will trust in him. I don't get it, God. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why I'm suffering. I don't understand why things have happened to me. Why did I lose my kids? Why did I lose my cattle? Why did I lose all of this? God, I don't get it. I don't understand. God, I'm righteous. But God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to still keep my hope in you. You ever feel like that? Yeah. God, I don't get it. Why am I kid doing this? Why am I not feeling good? Why am I sick? Why is my health failing? Why did I lose my job? Why can't I pay my bills? God, I'm a righteous person. I go to church every Sunday. Why am I not being blessed? But keep your hope. Keep your hope in God. Because Job learned something at the end of this. He learned that God is all-powerful. He learned that God is in control. He learned that God is sovereign. Job learned, I don't know it all, but I know the man that does know it all. I know Jesus. I have hope in him. And the hope that we find in the book of Job teaches us that hope is not in avoiding suffering, but hope is in trusting in God that he is in control. When you're in a time of suffering, when you're in a time you don't understand, when you don't know what's going on, hope is not in those circumstances. Your hope is in the character of our God. We can live with overflowing hope. One more person quickly, and that's Jeremiah. When all hope is gone, Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, Jeremiah wrote, he wrote about the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. Jeremiah experienced pain and suffering. He wrote that he was in deep darkness that he couldn't escape. He said he felt like he was held down by heavy chains. He felt like he had been attacked by a lion and left bleeding. Even his own friends laughed at him. He had lost all happiness and all he had to eat was gravel and it had broken his teeth. And when you get to Lamentations 3:18, he says, all hope is gone. Or in another translation, my endurance has perished and so has my hope from the Lord. God, I have no more hope. But go on a couple more verses. We get to verse 21. He says, yet there is one ray of hope. Yes, my hope I may feel like my hope is gone, but there is a ray of hope. And then he goes on to say, the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The steadfast love, God's mercy, God's faithfulness. When we feel like there's no hope, there is a ray of hope. where's hope in him? I trust you never find yourself in a hopeless situation like Jeremiah. But if you do, remember, there is a ray of hope. God loves you. God is merciful. God is faithful. Those who put their hope in him can live with overflowing hope. The Bible is full of stories of people that found hope. In many different situations, in many different circumstances and experiences of their life. See, Abraham, he found hope in God's promise. Noah found hope in the ark. Joseph found hope while he was in slavery. Daniel found hope in the lion's den. David found hope in the wilderness. Job in his suffering. Jonah in the belly of the whale. The disciples found hope in the calming of the storm. The woman found hope of a healing in the middle of a crowd. The Samaritan woman found living hope. Zacchaeus found hope climbing up a tree to see Jesus. The prodigal son found hope in a pig pen. Saul found hope from a blinding light on the roadway. Mankind has found hope in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's not a full and complete list because you have your story of hope. Jesus Christ is still filling us with hope. Today can be your day of hope. 2 Corinthians 1:10, we set our hope on him. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of the glorious inheritance to the saints? Today is your day of hope. God has hope for you. Let's go back to our key verse, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, God is the source of all hope. We sometimes put our hope in other things. That's not true hope. God is the source of our hope. If you need hope, you need God. And he will fill you with joy. He will fill you with peace because you trust in him. As you trust in him, he will fill you. And then you can overflow with that hope. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Trusting in God gives hope, which results in joy and peace. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It all begins with trusting in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we've all sinned. And because of our sin, we must be saved. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But that's not the end of the story because God provided a way of hope. God provided a way to salvation. Because if you go on in both of those verses, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And, big and, I don't know how to write on this fancy thing like Chris does. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And if you look at Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans 8, for in this hope we are saved. That's our hope in Jesus Christ. The way to have hope is through Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have hope for today and hope for eternity. Today can be your day of hope. Today can be your day that you live with hope in the good times and then the difficult times. In Romans 12, Paul told us to rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. But we can be confident and rejoice in our hope. There's over 150 verses in the Bible that talk about living with hope. We're not going to go through all of them this morning, but I'm going to give you my top 10. And I believe one of these will speak to you. One of these might be where you are. One of these might be something that you can hold on to as you live with hope. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You will be secure because there's hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. We have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. Now, faith gives me confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
We have this hope. We can live with overflowing hope. Put your trust in Jesus Christ and you can have hope. That hope renews our strength so that we can rise above the difficulties of life. It gives us the strength to run the race and not become weary. This joy, we get joy, we get peace. Hope is our anchor. Hope is our solid rock. Hope is our confidence. Hope is our assurance. Hope is our eternal life. We set our hope on Jesus so that we can overflow with hope. We can live with hope. Not only now in this life, but we have the hope of eternal life. Paul wrote in the book of Colossians to the church of Colossae, and he says, we always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for the saints because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. We have hope of eternal life. We have hope for this life, but the hope of eternity. We can overflow with hope in this life and share hope with others in the confidence that we have hope of eternal life. I told you about 5 years ago, I started reading this idea of hope. I heard sermons, I heard podcasts, I heard songs, I saw movies. It seemed like every place I looked, all I saw was hope. Our pastor did a series on Hope Has a Name. And I began to take notes and write these things down. I had them on my iPad, I had them on the computer, I had them on paper. And I started trying to put these notes together, and they fell into these topics. And then they kind of fell into chapters, and I thought, hey, I got enough here. I think I could write a book. I never intended to write a book. Didn't think I had that much to say. But it fell into this book, Overflowing Hope. And if some of these things I've talked about this morning have stirred an interest in your heart, I'd invite you to purchase a copy of this. They're out back in the Connection Hub. Because if I worked through this book, God spoke to me about the importance of living with hope. I can be kind of a negative person. I can kind of look at a glass and see it half empty instead of half full. But God has taught me, you need to live with hope. You need to look forward with positive thinking. You need to know that God is in control and that you can live with hope no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're going through. These books are only 10 bucks, and we're going to donate all $10 back to the music program here at the church because they're going to help me out here with a couple songs in a minute. But what is it you need hope for this morning? If you don't know Jesus Christ, it starts by giving your life to Jesus Christ. Because it all starts with knowing Him. As you put your trust in Him, then He can fill you with hope. If you don't have your trust in Him, He cannot fill you with hope. It begins with knowing Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, we're going to give you a chance in a minute to accept Him as your heart and your Savior. Accept Him as your Savior, and He'll change your heart. He'll give you hope. Do you need hope for something in your life? What area are you needing hope for? Do you need hope for a medical issue? Do you need hope for a child? Do you need hope for a spouse? Do you need hope for employment? Do you need hope for housing? What is it you need hope for this morning? The God of hope can fill you with hope so that you can overflow with hope. Today can be your day to receive hope. Today is our day of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm done, but God's not done. God can fill you with hope. Peter and the band's going to come out and help us with a couple songs. And I think these songs are really cement this idea to us that hope is in the name of Jesus. Say that with me. There's hope in the name of Jesus.
I invite you to stand. I'm praying, God, come and turn this thing around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name that changes everything. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus. I'm praying, God, come and turn this thing around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name that changes everything. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. All of my hope is in the name, the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Ooh, God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. He is up to something. He is up to something. God is doing something right now. He is up to something. He is up to something. God is doing something right now. He is healing someone. He is healing someone. God is doing something right now. He is healing someone. He is saving someone. God is doing something right now, right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something right now, right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something right now, right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something right now, right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus. Turn it around, God, turn it around, God, turn it around. Ooh, God, turn it around, God, turn it around, God, turn it around.
He is up to something. God is doing something. He can do it right now. God can bring you hope. Who needs hope this morning for salvation? I need a hand. Hold your hand up if you need hope this morning for salvation. We're going to pray for you in a minute. Mm-hmm. Who needs hope for a job? Anybody need hope for a job? We're going to pray for you this morning. Mm-hmm. Who needs hope for a healing? Who needs hope for a kid? Your kid's gone sideways. Yeah, we need hope for our children. Mm-hmm. What do you need hope for this morning? You need hope for your finances? Doesn't matter what you need hope for, because God can fill you with that hope. God can turn it all around.
That's right.
God can give you hope. Chris is going to pray with us this morning that God can be your God of hope.
God, we lift up this morning our hands in praise. God, we acknowledge that true and lasting hope comes only from the person of Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And God, I pray for our congregation here this morning. I pray for this spiritual family. God, I pray for those who just acknowledge that they need help. God, I pray for those who said, yes, I have to put my faith in Jesus, and I'm going to do that right now. God, we pray for those who need healing. God, we pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are going through difficult diagnoses, those who are going through chemo, through treatment, through therapy, through all of the ways, God, that you have enabled us to heal. God, use those by medicine and by miracle to bring healing to those who are sick. I pray for those, God, who are grieving their finances this morning. Sometimes there's no greater pressure on a family than not having the ends meet. God, I pray that you would give them hope for their finances. I pray that you would deliver, God. And if it's more money they need, I pray you would deliver that. God, if it's wisdom they need, I pray that you would deliver that. And God, I pray that you would meet us in this place and in this space to fill us with your hope. God, let us be a congregation that is so hope filled that it would be something that we are known for. I've been there. I know those people. They are filled with hope. God, I pray that you would also fill us with the perseverance necessary to receive your hope, that it would not just be a moment here and now, but that this would inaugurate a movement in our hearts of great hope that would never stop. Yes. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But yet, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And even when we're not sure what to pray for, the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And you who search our hearts and our minds, God, I pray that you would fill us with your hope. God, thank you for this moment that you've given us here together. Thank you for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for those who came this morning in a hope deficit, and you have met them and you have filled them, God. God, now just release us to your mission and your glory, filled with this hope. Church, we would love to pray with you more. We're going to be in the prayer room after service. We can come together and we can just lay hands on you and pray that God would lift you up in his arms of great and lasting hope. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Island Christian Church podcast. We hope the insights and reflections shared here have sparked a desire in you to explore your faith more deeply. Remember, the journey through the scriptures is a path to understanding, not just the words of God, but his heart and his vision for your life. We encourage you to not just listen, but to actively engage and reflect on what God is speaking into your life through his word. If today's message has inspired you, we invite you to dive deeper and join us in person. Our church family gathers at 400 Elwood Road, East Northport, and we would love to welcome you. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 and 11, offering a time of fellowship, worship, and deeper learning. There are dynamic children's ministries during every service, and there is a free cafe too. Also, don't forget, our sermon library is always available at islandchristian.com, a resource for you to revisit today's sermon or explore others. Thank you again for tuning in. We're excited to see you next time, and perhaps even in person this Sunday. Until then, may your days be blessed and your faith journey enriched. See you soon.